Going today?
Hey, good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing outstanding.
Is Dave off?
Yeah, real funny.
I wish. No, I'm just teasing. No.
I'll be gone most of the month of October, so there you go.
It's a part. Yeah, you know, right there in playoff time, we'll actually get some meaningful insight in there with the full Monty out talking to playoff baseball, right, Tracy?
Exactly. I look forward to it.
The big question is, the way the Rockies are playing right now, will they be involved in postseason baseball the way things are going?
Well, you know, Jerry Nairn, who's one of my Wildmania guys, I was over saying goodbye to him the other day, and Torrey Lovello was there, and they said, well, we'll see you next week in Arizona. I go, no, I don't travel with the team. They go, oh, well, you'll be down in October when they play us, right? I said, do you think they'll play you? They go, well, who else is going to win the wild card? I said, well, they've been struggling. He said, yeah, well, you know, we started this winning streak, and now we're the hottest item in baseball. And yeah, we were 15 games under 500 from the 5th of July until the winning streak started. So that's what happens in the game. You go in streaks. Hey, the Dodgers, how many have the Dodgers lost in a row now?
What are they up to? It's been, what?
Yeah, they won one in there, didn't they?
Have they lost like 7 of 8 or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if this team's as good as it appears to have been, I mean, Milwaukee's, I kind of look at it this way. Milwaukee had its run. Arizona's had its run. So now it's turned for the Rockies to have their run. So I just, I'm not going to, they're two games up on, to me, they're two games up on Milwaukee because they have two fewer losses than Milwaukee has.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, until they're not there, someone's got to beat them.
What needs to change for the Rockies, though, to get on a streak like you mentioned?
I think the biggest thing, I was just teasing Nolan Arenado about it, is like, dude, man, just take a deep breath. You know, I think right now he just feels so much pressure on him, and it's not there. I mean, it talks to us, you know, in football, you're the quarterback, you know who you want to go to on 3rd and 5 with 2 seconds left to play, and you're on the 7-yard line, right?
Right.
You know who you're going to go to, and you pick who you're going to go to. In basketball, you know who you want to get the ball to when you're in the final seconds of a tight game. Baseball, the lineup dictates who's going to have that chance. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy when you get the opportunity, because you're not going to get every opportunity, and other people are going to have to come through and do things. I mean, Cargo draws the bases loaded, walk-off or yesterday. No, I mean, he's hitting, what, 270 or so since the All-Star break, which isn't Cargo-like, but, you know, he's starting to contribute, and he's a good defensive player. But, you know, you've got different people that are going to have to come through in situations and make plays. I mean, people, well, we need to shake the lineup up. Well, Arenado's a guy hitting 175 in the last 3 weeks with runners in scoring position. So what do you want to do, hit him 8? You know, if he doesn't hit, you're not going to win. And the other two guys are your two best guys in the last time. So why do you want to limit the number of times they have a chance to come up and do something? I just think if you start doing things like that, then you tell the players that you're panicking, and then that tells them that they better panic because you just panic. You know, it's like a football coach after a game, if he just tears up everything and starts making wild changes with his lineup or his roster, then everybody's looking around saying, oh, you know, this guy must be falling because Chicken Little just told us. So I think you have patience. You know, that's how you get through it. And yeah, the season's winding down now, but it's theirs to lose. You know, they're ostensibly two games up on Milwaukee. It's theirs to lose. So why be panicking?
Well, you know, that's exactly what I thought when I saw that shook up lineup on Sunday, and I looked at the lineup and what Bud had done to it, and I thought, this reeks of desperation or something to try and shake this up this way. I mean, those were games you still need to play to win. And you got to put your best 9 guys out there and hope that they come through for you. At least that's the way I've always played it.
Yeah, I think you look for days, particularly when you're going to have day games where you give different guys a blow. You're coming on night game to a day game to a day game, which is not normal in your schedule. So you gave a few guys a blow, and you gave them the blow at the same time instead of spreading it out over time. And, you know, it's just it's not once a week. You know, it's 6 to 7 days a week, and there's just times where you let guys catch their breath. So you see what happens, and you know it didn't work out. But you also sometimes see those lines. I can still remember when Art Howe was managing Houston, and they had a bad team, and they brought all these rookies up, and Tommy Lasorda filed a grievance because he wasn't starting all his veteran players against the Giants, and they were battling the Dodgers, and then the Astros swept them, and Tommy had to apologize for his grievance. It's so many things happen. You got to look at what you think's best overall for the next 4 weeks, not just for that day.
Tracy, I see Tyler Chatwood pitching. What I read, they're hoping to get, 3 to 5 good innings out of him, or 3 to 5 innings, and they've got their bullpen ready to go for this thing. Is that kind of what they're thinking?
Yeah, I think, I don't know how much Russell will pitch, but I think last Friday, Bud was talking about looking at this being Chatwood, Sensatella, and Russell in some order. And, you know, Chatwood is basically, I think he's 7-3 lifetime with about a 2.15 ERA against the Giants. But to me, the puzzle with him is why the last 2 years he hasn't pitched well at Coors Field. I mean, his first 2 years here, he's 10-4, and he had an ERA of like 3.35 at Coors Field. And his last 2 years, he's 4-10. Since he's come back from the Tommy John, he's 4-10. And his ERA is high enough that his career ERA here is now 5. So it's got to be 6.5 or so. So it's that's been the puzzle to me, is trying to figure out just exactly what's happened to him at Coors Field. But, you know, he's pitched well against the Giants, and he's in their head in that regard, and they're not playing well. So I think when you're figuring he's going to pitch 3 or 4 innings, you might as well go out and get him out there early and see if you can do something with it.
I guess if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, you are just hoping that the Diamondbacks don't win the wild card and you have to face them in the first round, because they've right now things could change in 4 weeks, but right now they got LA's number. You know, it was bad enough they lost down in Arizona. The Dodgers lost that series, got swept. But now they go to L.A. last night, and the Diamondbacks go into Dodger Stadium and beat them 13-0 last night. They've really got the Dodgers by the numbers now.
Yeah, and they lost 2 out of 3 to San Diego over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game really is, if you break seasons down, the game really is built off stretches. And you got to figure out how to minimize the really bad ones. You know, I mean, if you're the Dodgers, you're probably looking at it and saying, well, at least we'll get this out of the way. You hope you bounce back and you're ready to go. I know everybody talks about how many pitchers they have, but other than Kershaw, they don't have – Hill can do whatever he did. He doesn't scare me. You know, I look at the track record. He doesn't scare me. He's been dominant this year. But, you know, other than Kershaw, I don't know that they have anybody that you say, damn, how are we going to survive that?
Curious, what do you make of the Red Sox admitting that they used basically an Apple Watch to, you know, get the Yankee signs and relay them to folks, you know, during their series? Is that a big deal, or are we going to make it out to be a big deal?
Probably. They used the Apple Watch as the relay? That's what they relayed it with?
Hold on. I'll read the story real quickly here. I printed it out. I just caught it before. Okay. They've reportedly admitted to baseball that they improperly used electronic devices to steal signs from the Yankees. New York Times reporting the Red Sox used a high-tech watch to relay signs by the Yankee catchers during the series last month at Fenway. Brian Cashman filed a complaint. Newspaper said the video showed a member of Boston's training staff looking at his Apple Watch in the dugout and relaying a message to players.
Well, you know, there's been a long time that people thought they stole signs in Boston, and it's not a surprise. I think people steal signs. Funny part is a lot of players don't want the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the other team realizes you're picking up the signs, then they will throw the other pitch and you wind up getting hurt. So it's one of those situations where, I guess it involves the Yankees and the Red Sox, so it's big news. But I don't know that I can get that carried away with it. I don't know that it's really that big of an issue. You still have to, even if you know signs, everybody has to pull off their part and do it. You know, it's sometimes you look for excuses to justify your failures too.
Very good. Tracy, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time. We'll get back to you on Monday. Thanks again. We'll see you Saturday as well.
All right, buddy.
All right, see you, Trace.
Bye-bye. There you go.